Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us again this week for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. This week, we continue reading through the book of Numbers and we are on the Torah portion where we hear and we read about the story of the rebellion of Korah. So we're going to start reading in Numbers chapter 16 and we're going to start with verse 16. And Moses said to Korah, "Be present, you and all your company, before Yahweh, you and they and Aaron tomorrow. And let every one of you take his censer and put incense on it, and every one of you bring before Yahweh his censer, 250 censers, you also, and Aaron each his censer." So every man took his censer and put fire in them and laid incense on them and stood at the entrance of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Then Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and the glory of Yahweh appeared to all the congregation. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces and said, "O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation?" And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Say to the congregation, get away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away with all their sins." So they got away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents together with their wives, their sons, and their little ones. So we're going to stop reading there. Now, if we go back and we read sooner through this story, we see that Korah and these other two men basically lead a rebellion against Moses. They are complaining in the wilderness. They're upset with how things are going in the wilderness, and they rebel against them and actually have a desire in their hearts to return back unto Egypt. And they begin to make statements as in, "Who are you, Moses? Who are you, Aaron, to be the ones to bring the offering? What makes you so special?" Right? So they take this rebellion. They have this rebellion going on. We see that they took 250 renowned men with them as well along their path in this rebellion. So the part that we just read is Korah and his men being confronted in their rebellion against Moses and Aaron. Now, something that's important to understand here is when Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron, he rebelled ultimately against Yahweh. When we rebel against the leadership that Yahweh has placed in our lives and those that are over us, that have been given stewardship over us, we are ultimately rebelling against his authority. And so by Korah rejecting Moses and Aaron's leadership, by rejecting them, he rejected Yahweh's leadership and rejected Yahweh as well. And so we see here what the response was. So Moses tells Korah for him and his company to come before Yahweh and Aaron tomorrow, right? And so we see here in the verse that Korah assembles all the congregation against them. So not only does Korah come with Dathan and Abiram and the 250 men, but he comes with the whole congregation. So the response here from Yahweh that he tells Moses and Aaron is he tells them at first, he says, "You two need to separate yourselves from this congregation, because this congregation is walking in the flesh. They are rebelling against me, against my purpose, against my plan, against my instructions." He had given his instructions on how he wanted his offerings to be brought, who was to bring those, and Korah at this present moment in time is rebelling against the instructions that Yahweh had given. And he is leading the whole congregation in this rebellion now because he's brought the whole congregation. So Yahweh speaks to Moses and Aaron and says, separate yourselves from them so I may consume them in a moment. Our rebellion, our disobedience, our disbelief, our unbelief will lead to judgment. To those who walk according to their flesh, who do not believe in Yeshua, who do not surrender their hearts unto him, and are sanctified and walk according to his purposes, in the end, they will be consumed. They will spend eternity in hell. Okay. Now, the interesting response is upon being told to separate from the congregation, Moses and Aaron both plead out on behalf of the congregation. And so Yahweh actually gives the congregation a chance. He gives them the ability to spare themselves, to separate themselves from the sin that is going on so that they would not be consumed. So we see that here, and that's what he spoke in verse 26. He speaks to the congregation, depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away in all their sins. So the congregation is given a moment in time where they have the opportunity to walk away from the rebellion of Korah. They have a choice. They get to choose. Am I going to choose righteousness or am I going to choose sin? Am I going to choose to join myself with Moses and Aaron, the ones who were appointed to lead this congregation by Yahweh? Or am I going to join myself to Korah, the one who is leading this rebellion? So it's interesting. I get the opportunity to depart from the rebellion. And they're told as they depart not to touch anything that is theirs or not to touch anything that would be unclean. This is the whole idea why it's important for us as believers to understand what is clean and what is unclean, and that we do not touch in that which is unclean, or we do not partake in the sin of the world. We do not partake in the sin of those who are walking in rebellion. Because what does he tell them? Lest you be swept away with all of their sins, or lest you be swept away in their judgment and you be found guilty and you find judgment as well instead of eternal life. Okay. So what does it say the congregation did? The congregation listened unto Moses. They listened to Aaron. They separated themselves from the sin of these men, from their rebellion. And so they were spared. They got away from Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Dathan, Abiram, Korah, and the 250 men would see the judgment of Yahweh upon themselves for the rebellion that they walked in. Okay, so this tells us, and this sets an example unto us and teaches us a lesson to understand the importance of separating ourselves from the sin of this world, to not touch that which is unholy or that which has not been commanded by our Heavenly Father. Okay, so let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Messiah with Belial, or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you. I will be as a father to you, and you shall be as sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So in this passage here, we actually get a glimpse and we get to see what the Father's heart's desire is for us as believers, as those who are walking in covenant with Him. It's important to understand that, to know that when we come and we accept Yeshua into our hearts and we profess Him as our Redeemer, as our Messiah, as our Savior, that we believe that He died upon that cross for our sins, and that by His blood and His blood alone is there forgiveness of sins. And because He resurrected from that grave, we will one day resurrect as well, and we will spend eternity with Him. So we enter into a covenant with our God, with Yahweh, at that moment in time. But see, what a lot of us fail to understand is before we entered into covenant with God, we were in a covenant already. We were in a covenant with sin, with Satan himself, and we were serving Satan himself. Everyone in this world is serving one of two people. You're either serving the true God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, or you're serving the devil. You are in covenant with one of those two people. Okay? So His desire for us who are in covenant with Him is for us to be the temple of Himself, of the living God, for Him to dwell in us. He wants to dwell among us. So just as Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day, how they spent time in His presence and spoke with Him, He wants to be with us, with His people. So He has placed His presence inside of each and every single one of us by His Holy Spirit. And He lives in us to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to comfort us, to help us, and to strengthen us. His Spirit resides in us. And His desire is for us to be His sons and His daughters. And He will be a Father unto us. What does a father do to his children or for his children? Number one, a father provides for his children. A father looks after his children. He protects his children. He nurtures his children. He teaches his children. He raises them up, right? He guides them along the way, and He also brings discipline. These are all things that our Heavenly Father does for us because He loves us, and His desire is to be our Father, to be our protector, the one who nurtures us, who looks after us, who guides us, who raises us up according to His ways and provides for us, and ultimately will bring discipline along the path as well, because He desires that which is best for us and because He loves us. He does not want to see us be destroyed, but wants us to have eternal life, wants us to have joy, and wants us to be in His presence, so He brings His discipline. Now, in this process, and what we see in this verse is He tells us that since we are His dwelling place, since we are the temple, His Spirit is residing in us, that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, or we who are the light. When His Spirit resides in us and lives in us, we are light. His word, remember, His Torah is called light. His Torah, His word, His commandments, His instructions are written upon our hearts, and it is light, and it is righteousness. It is righteousness to walk in obedience to His word. Now, we cannot walk in obedience in His word and obtain righteousness unless we first have belief in Yeshua and believe that He is the only one who can forgive us of our sins. So we who are walking in covenant with Yahweh, walking in righteousness, who has His light, are not to be joined with unbelievers or those who are walking in lawlessness. Those who are walking as if there is no standard of righteousness, as if there is no right or wrong, that they do whatever they want to do. We are not to walk with them, or we are not to join in with their behavior. This does not mean that we are to separate ourselves from the world, be a hermit, and speak with no one and see no one unless they are a believer. That is not what Paul is speaking of here. To be yoked with the unbeliever is to enter into a covenant type relationship with an unbeliever, to join yourself in, to be like-minded with that person, to have like desires with that person. That is what it means to be yoked with an unbeliever, is when you begin to have a unity with the unbeliever. You can have relationship with the unbeliever without having unity with the unbeliever, because ultimately we are called to be a light unto the world. And so if we're going to be a light unto the world, we must be walking around and be amongst the darkness and be in the darkness so they can see our light. And what is our light? It's our obedience to his word. It's us walking in his righteousness, because it's when we walk in his righteousness, when we walk in his obedience, it sets us apart from the world. And when they see that, they see our good works, then they will praise our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. That is the very next verse that you read in 2 Corinthians after the previous one I read there. Is Paul instructing us to cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. So what is he speaking of? Cleanse yourself of those things that are of the world. Cleanse yourself of those things that are unrighteous, that are unclean. Search your heart. Seek those things that are not according to his word, that are not according to his Torah and his purpose and his plan and his instructions for our lives. Where are we rebelling against his word? Where are we rebelling against the plan and the purpose and the direction that he has given us in our lives? Where are the things? What are the things in our life that is unclean that would defile us and defile our body and our spirit? So we need to be careful to understand that we can quench the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can resist the Holy Spirit. So we need to learn how not to quench, grieve, and resist the Holy Spirit as believers, so that we can continually walk in him and that we can what? Bring holiness to completion. So that is our goal. That is our purpose, to bring holiness, or to bring set apartness to completion, to be completely separated from the world, to where our minds are completely separated from the way this world thinks, so that we don't even think like this world does anymore. Our brain has been programmed and trained to think a whole different way. And how do we do that? It is by reading his word. It's through the reading of his word that our mind is renewed. And we as believers need to be renewing our minds daily, because we are in a struggle. We are in a battle, and we have to fight against the thoughts and the ways that this world thinks and the way this world is programmed to run. And this world is trying to program us to run in the same steps and the same way that they are. So we need to separate ourselves from that. We need to not be conformed unto this world, but transformed into the image of Yeshua. So complete holiness would actually mean complete set apartness from this world. It would mean complete obedience unto our Heavenly Father. It would mean that we have been completely transformed into the image of Yeshua, that we are completely walking just as he walked. And we accomplish this by walking in the fear of God, having that reverence of God in our hearts and in our lives that produces obedience. It's by obedience unto his word that we can bring about set apartness or holiness to completion in our lives. We cannot accomplish that, of course, without first having been justified in our belief in Yeshua and being filled with his Spirit. Because without his Spirit living inside of us, we can never completely obey his Scripture. We cannot obtain holiness without first being cleansed by the blood of Yeshua and by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Yeshua that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Yeshua. So here Paul is telling them in Thessalonians, what is he urging them to do? That they are to walk in the way that they taught them to walk, right? And to please God. How do we walk in a way which pleases God? It is by walking in obedience to his word. Yahweh laid out exactly what he wants us to do in order to please him. He did not leave it a mystery. He did not say, go out there and figure it out on your own. I'm going to leave it up to you to try to figure out how you are to please me. He laid it out. He said it. If you want to please me, if you want to do that which is pleasing in my sight, if you want to bring an offering that I find acceptable, this is how you do it. This is my instructions on what you are to do. And Paul is urging them, they are to walk in a manner that is pleasing unto God. And his word, his scripture, his Torah lays that out for us. Okay. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. So we who walk with God ought to walk in a way that is pleasing unto him. Unto what? Your sanctification, or being set apart from the world. He goes on to mention abstaining from sexual immorality. That is one of the things that we are to abstain ourselves from when it comes to setting ourselves apart from this world. Okay, so he tells us that we are to control our bodies in holiness and honor, or in set apartness, not to follow the passions of the lust of our body. See, our bodies is filled with lust. To walk according to this world, to walk in rebellion against God. And so before we knew Yeshua, these lusts ran rampant inside of our bodies. You can see it when you look at the world around us and the unbelievers, how the lust just runs rampant in their bodies and how they lack control over this lust in their bodies, and they pretty much do whatever they desire to do. Whatever their flesh wants, they give into. They crave into that. Okay? So, we as believers have been called to control our bodies, to have self-control, to defeat the passions of our lust, to defeat the temptations of our flesh, that which lives in us that desires to go contrary to the word of God. Each and every day, we have to learn how to take control of the flesh inside of us that rages against the purposes and the righteousness of Yahweh. So the will of God is for us to learn how to control our flesh, to have self-control. That way we may obtain sanctification or set apartness. We cannot obtain set apartness if we do not control the lust of our flesh. Let's look at verse 6. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So what have we been called to? Holiness. We have been called to set apartness. we have not been called unto impurity. What is impurity? Impurity would be anything that is not clean, anything that is not righteous, or anything that is not according to his purpose, his instructions, his commands that he has given us in Scripture. When we walk in disobedience, we are walking in impurity. When we disobey his commands, when we rebel against his commands, we are walking in impurity. He says, I have not called you unto impurity, but in set apartness. When we walk in obedience, we are in set apartness. It is obedience to his word that sets us apart. So this scripture could easily say, for God has not called us unto disobedience or for disobedience, but for obedience. That is very much what the scripture could very easily read. So he has given us his Holy Spirit for what purpose? To help us and to guide us, for us to walk in holiness and to abstain from that which is impure. So he has given us his Holy Spirit to help us to walk in holiness and to know that which is impure, but also we as believers need to understand that and follow the Holy Spirit and follow the conviction of the Spirit, because if we don't follow his conviction, if we resist him, if we quench him, if we grieve him by not listening to him and not following his conviction, ultimately what's going to end up happening is we're going to push his Spirit away, because we're too busy walking in impurity and we're going to grieve him. And by resisting him, we're pushing him away and ultimately quenching him. We will not have his Spirit anymore and we will not be able to walk in holiness, and we will find ourselves as a slave unto impurity or unto sin. So now let's look at verse 9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent upon no one. So we as believers need to understand how to walk in brotherly love. And it's by walking in brotherly love, it's by walking in obedience to his word, and by walking properly, that is walking in obedience to his word, when the outsiders see it, may they see our light shine. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now you have been set free from sin and become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. So here Paul is instructing us, and he warns us that we are a slave to whomever we obey. So if we continue to follow sin, if we continue to obey sin, we will be a slave unto sin. If we obey obedience, if we obey God's word, his commands, then we are a slave unto his righteousness. So we were once slaves of sin, but we have become obedient from the heart to his word that was given unto us. Okay, so we've been set free from sin, meaning we're not free to do whatever we want. We're not free from the law, as in free not to obey it, but we are free from the fact that sin ruled over us. The desire to disobey his word and to resist his word and to not do it and to disobey and rebellion and walk in that rebellion, that has been taken away. We have been freed from that resistance, from that rebellion, so that he has put it within our hearts to have a desire to walk in obedience to his word. He's taken that old hard heart out and given us that heart of flesh so that we may become a slave of righteousness. Out of a desire for his righteousness. Being a slave of righteousness is out of a desire for righteousness. It is out of a willingness to want to do his will and to please him. Now, being a slave unto sin is not out of willingness. That is out of a mind that is trapped and enslaved to the ways and customs of this world. Now, the last verse here, you know, Paul lays it out. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. We see in the story with Korah, those who rebelled against God saw judgment. They saw death. To those who do not separate themselves from the sin of this world, those who continue to unify themselves with the Korahs of this world, they will see death. But to those who separate themselves from Korah by first believing in Yeshua Messiah as their Redeemer and believing that by the blood of Yeshua there is forgiveness of sins, and then they walk in obedience to his word. So they have separated themselves from the sin of this world. They have separated themselves from Korah, and they touch not that which is unclean. To them is the free gift of God, which is eternal life. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, robberies, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the things which are unclean, which we are not to touch. Let's look at verse 22, the things that set us apart. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Messiah Yeshua have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, what Paul is not saying here is that there is no law. What he is saying is, if we are a people who are filled by his Spirit, who have crucified our flesh, who have learned what it means to put aside the passions and the desires of our flesh, and to walk according to the Spirit, and to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law, because we would have fulfilled the law. We will be walking in obedience to the law. That's why we are not under the law if we're led by the Spirit, because the Spirit is going to lead us in obedience to his commands. He's going to teach us how to love God instead of apartness. He's going to teach us how to love people. His Spirit is going to produce righteousness in the believer's life. So, We have been called to freedom. We have been set free from sin. And he starts it off by saying, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, or do not use your freedom as an opportunity for you to say, I can walk however I want to walk because I have been forgiven by Yeshua, so I can do whatever I want. I can still walk in the world. I can still be joined in the Korah. I can still enter into the sin of Korah and with Korah because I have belief in Yeshua. That's not going to work. You still have to separate yourselves from Korah. Well, I sure hope that this message has blessed you this week. We are so glad that you joined us again this week. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So come back now and shalom, y'all.